Luke 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. How many farmers out here? How many farmers? Not many. You know, not many of us are farmers. I've got a lot of farming experience. Actually, well, I don't. My family comes from a history of farming back in Nebraska. And the only farming experience I have is going to visit the farm and getting attacked by a rooster in the chicken coop. It's not a good experience. But here's the thing, too. I am not much of a gardener. Maybe some of you are really good at gardening. I am not good. But Jesus, here he is coming, and he's speaking to the people, the multitudes, as crowds have been following him as he's going around, and he's preaching the kingdom of God. And he's speaking specifically, giving an illustration, what's called a parable. And as we have lots of farm fields around here, we can sort of get a little taste of what Jesus is talking about. Because what he's doing is he's talking about the fact that farmers know they want big crops. That's what it's all about, is getting huge yields, bearing fruit, lots of planting and waiting, and then watching this huge crop. And this is what Jesus is talking about as he talks about a parable. What's a parable? It's a parallel story Jesus used as an illustration to express a great truth of God and of how to live. And here's the thing. In a way, it could be a riddle. It's, you know, it's something hard to understand. It could be like a test in a way. If you get this, you know, you win, so to speak. And what is Jesus doing here? Is he's out and he's on a mission. And he's out there, and his purpose is to send out and to preach the kingdom of God. That's what his purpose came. And then eventually he was sent to the cross to die for our sins. But he's all about preaching the kingdom of God. This loving God that loves us and wants a relationship with us. And it's not about this kingdom that we live in now, this domain, but about God's kingdom domain. And this is, understand this, the kingdom of God is a totally different realm than what we deal with today, what we see today, what we live with today, that we think our life is all about today. This realm that we see and feel and touch. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And this is a new way to live, as he speaks. A new way that brings joy, peace, and fulfillment, and a purpose to life. And he's really giving this eternal perspective that we can have of a loving God who loves us and wants to bless us. And not only that, but to produce something in us. And it's a life that has eternal consequences. So as we've been following Jesus, he's been speaking to the multitudes, these huge throngs, and he decides to tell them this story, a parable to teaching them something of consequence. It says this in chapter 4, verse 8, of a farmer sowing his seeds. What's sowing? It means planting. It's going out, and as a farmer in those days, they would go out with their bag of seeds, and they would just throw out the seed. Because they didn't have farm implements, farming equipment that goes out specifically, as we can see down here in the field, just a block away, you've got these furrows that are precisely laid out by this farm equipment, and then these seeds are specifically planted in specific areas. No, what the farmer did then, of course, it goes out with this big old bag of seed, and like my dad used to do when he fertilized the grass, he used to take his hands in there and fertilize and just spread it out. I used to go, wow, I don't know if that's good for you, Dad. But to go out with this bag of seeds and you scatter it. That's what they sowed. That's how you sowed seed. That's how you planted. It wasn't a careful way of doing it. And as you plant by hand, the stuff would fall out randomly in different areas. Make sure it gets all over. And as the seeds fell, it fell everywhere. In the first place, it says here, verse 5, it fell by the wayside, which is a roadway. That's where the paths are made. That's where people walk and ground is compacted. It's hard as a rock. That's why we have roads today that we're on. If somebody's out there throwing seeds around and it lands on a road, what's going to happen? Not much. Nothing's going to happen. It's just there. It lays out there by the wall. And it's trampled down by the air, the birds of the air, and it's devoured. They devour it. They come down, the birds eat it. Next, some fell on a rock. The rock is the area of the soil. In Israel, there's lots of, the soil's nothing but rocky, down particularly around Jerusalem. It's all rocky. And you go out outlying areas, it's out there. But there's certain areas that has lots of rock and a little bit of soil. So if the seed gets scattered out in this area, it's going to get in there and it's going to take root. It says some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It gets a little water, spring, you know, it germinates a little bit, but then along comes the sun, dries it up. Then we see here, comes along, verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. This is soil that is full of weeds, thorns, like so of much of our backyards sometimes when they get full of weeds. It's the thorny wild plants that grow everywhere, particularly when there's any dirt. I don't care where it is. Cracks in my driveway, I have weeds. It's amazing where weeds will grow. And these thorny weeds plants will overcrowd and permeate, and they choke out the good seed. Literally, the word for choke, by the way, is to suffocate. To drown out and kill is what it means. Those thorny weeds are mean, basically. I hate weeds. Bottom line, I hate them. But look at verse 8. Then, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop. How much? 100-fold. This is a good thing. Good soil, good thing. This farmers, when they hear this, this is exciting news. This is what you work for. This is what you want. This is what people back then would hope for and live for. You know, they're working from sun up to sundown. Hopefully their crop will bear fruit. It's a great return on investment. One little seed, 100 times. Great. But you know what? This is what God wants to deal with in our life. All right, we're going to look at this. When you are totally blessed, if you had a field, if you were a field, how could you be blessed? Everyone knew this, and if they could plant and have this great crop, it was a good thing. All right? So I have to give you a little story of my history. My great-great-grandfather discovered that farming is a good thing. He lived in Connecticut, didn't have a very good farm on the East Coast. It was 1875. He took his young wife, and he took the wagon, the horses, and they went to Nebraska. In 1875, found a plot of land. They went ahead, and it was the Homestead Act. They got 40 acres, and they decided this is where we're going to land and plant a farm. It turned out it's the richest, some of the richest soil in the country. But when they got there, what is it covered with? Stone, weeds, everything. It's along the river, the Platte River. And on top of that, they lived in a sod hut, which was, I'm sure, a lot of fun. And Indians would come in and peek in the windows. So this, but yet they knew this was something good to come and have this land and to make something of it. And in fact, it's still in the family. My family, my mother gets a rent check, helps her out. But what does this parable mean to you and me today? Right? That's what we're going to see here. As Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. In other words, if you can understand this, and you get the full significance of this story, you're going to get it. You're going to hear it, and it's going to do something. Otherwise, it's just a nice farming story. But you know what? When you wonder what this means, that's a good thing. Do as the disciples do, as they did. They asked, verse 9, they said, then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? Because we just don't get it. The disciples didn't get it. If they didn't get it, we need explanation as well. So let's hear what Jesus said. Because understand this, anytime you don't understand something about God and his word, ask him. Get into his word. Call the church and ask a question. Somebody might be able to answer it, right? Ask, pray. Jesus, listen to this, does not want to hide anything from you. Sometimes we feel like, well, I just don't get this. He does not want it hidden from you. He wants you to understand this truth. For so those that truly want to know, that want to understand what the mysteries of the kingdom of God is, he wants to let you hear it and know it. Okay, verse 10. And as he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So in so many ways, this can be a mystery. But there's purpose here that God has given us. He's given us his word. And it's what he is all about. And it's what our life is to be all about. And it's the word, by the way, for mystery is a hidden secret. That's what it means. A hidden secret. And the things that God wants to reveal to you, he wants you to know it. This is the inspired word of God. The inerrant word of God. And it makes no sense if it's nonsense to you. If it's just nonsense, you know, just go ahead and go into La La Land. But if you want to know, it's amazing. It has a secret. If you want to know it, it will be revealed. The mystery here is revealed. It's right here. Oftentimes, the Old Testament, as you go through it, you go, what does that mean? And that's why the Old Testament conceals why we have the New Testament, what the New Testament reveals. God opens it up to us so we can understand it. See, Jesus came to fulfill this message, the message of love for you. So if you want to hear and truly desire, do as disciples and ask, what does this mean? Understand this too. It's important to understand. God will not force his truth on you. If you really don't want to know, he won't force it on you. Some people just don't want to hear it. But if you have an ear, perceive this is the truth of God. Verse 11 it says, now the parable is this. Here he is just explaining this mystery. What is it? Here it is. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Now what does the different soils mean? The soil is lives of people. It's your life. It's my life. It's different kinds of people. Different hearts and souls. We are all vessels of this soil, so to speak. Okay? We all have dirt in us. It's not so to speak, really dirty dirt, but you know what I'm saying. It's our life. The first seed, it falls along the wayside, the road. What kind of person is that? Jesus says, verse 12, those people, those lives by the waysides are the one who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those by the word, the roadside, are the ones that when the word of God goes out, it doesn't get into their heart. You can talk to somebody. In fact, Ron, when he cuts hair, Ron cuts my hair, Ron Lopez. And it's like church when we go to church. There's a gentleman that came in, and Ron has a gift of evangelism and wants to share with this guy. And it's obvious this man was the roadside guy. All right? He literally did not want to hear it. And you can't force it down. You can't take the seed and shove it down his throat. As much as Ron wanted to. We can't do that. You know? But the thing is, there's no reception. It's just not there. The soil, it's hard pan. It's the roadside. And as it's like the seed falling along, and along came Satan comes along and snapped like the birds. Birds are the expositional constancy. That's that fancy word that says this. The birds in the Bible, when they're mentioned, are metaphorically and symbolically the enemy of God. And the seeds come along. And it's this life has this heart sometimes that are so hard, they're covered with this thick resistance to the word of God. It's like asphalt. You ever talk to somebody? Sometimes they just don't want to hear it. It's that thick resistance. I hope, pray nobody's like that here. It's a life when they hear the word of God and somebody shares about Jesus, their response is, no, thank you. Boy, that's nice for you, but I just don't want it. No effect. It's just total rejection. See, the devil is constantly on a mission to send out messages that not to receive the word of God. Always, constantly, throughout. You see it throughout TV. There's the agenda. Do not receive the word of God. Receive the word of Satan. The image of Satan, this message. And it's constantly this message. Don't listen. Snatching out the word of God out of people's hearts. So they won't believe and be saved. I just noticed there was on the news There's down, I can't remember the city down south, but there's they have for 50 years been putting out the nativity scenes and different displays throughout. And this gentleman said, you know, he basically came to the city, says, I have a right to display also. And he put out this displays of saying what the Christianity and Christmas is a myth. Basically, just beating down what Christmas is all about. And he puts it in chain link fence so nobody can, you know, damage it. But it's interesting how he can go and put down and denigrate our faith, but we're not allowed to talk about other people's faith. It's just amazing. It's just not, it's a double standard. But it's Satan's way. He's got, it's doing his thing. And we just understand it, we see it, and we go, God, please do something with that man's life, because he has got that hard soil. He's not going to hear it. Lord, please do something. And but the as I said here, the devil is constantly on that mission, throwing out that word. Then the second seed that the word of God falls on the rock. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Those that are here that hear God's word, they may go to an evangelistic crusade, maybe to Harvest, or hear Billy Graham, or watch on TV, and they hear it, and they get excited, and they go, wow, that makes perfect sense. That's logical. That's Jesus is real. And they get caught up with others and maybe go forward. And it's all this joy, and that's, yeah, this is true. But what happens is they have it, they get it, but it never goes down here. It never goes into their heart. They miss it by 18 inches. It never gets down there. That's the knowledge of the truth. But when things, it says, when things don't go perfectly well in life, it's like, oh, that didn't work. Because what Jesus is clear. He talks about another. In fact, this parable is in all three gospels, in all three of the what's called the synoptic gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's all three. And others talk about the temptation as what happens when the trials, which is what the word temptation means, and persecution, when things get hot, these people fade. The trial of life. The word is test here. Testing if this person is a true believer or just a professor. Or professor is someone who just professes they're a Christian. Believing, but never believing from their heart. Paul says in Romans, in fact, turn over there for a moment. Romans 10, verse 8. Keep your finger back over in Luke. Romans 10, verse 8, it says, but as Paul is talking about God's word, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and where? In your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So as it goes down, the root of God's word goes down into the heart. But also there's a confession of the mouth that verifies it. Yes, that's what it's all about. I know friends of mine. I went when I was young, I went to church group, youth group with. I remember going to summer camp. I was raised in a church that never preached the gospel. So I ended up going with a friend who had a church that did to this summer camp because there were some nice girls. And I went and I heard God's word. And it made sense. And I saw other people that also believed. But it took root. It went down. But what happened is I noticed these people, years later, they totally left it. Left it behind. They didn't want it. Life happened. They got married. Things went on. And it was as if the enemy came along and just plucked it out. Don't know if they ever believed in their heart. If it ever really truly went to their heart. If they ever confessed with their mouth. They just, the word is fell away. Left it behind. Left Jesus behind. It's a warning. As we look at the third soil, this third type here, says verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. These are the ones that hear the word of God, their lives, their soil, and it's okay, and it goes down and takes root. People who believe in their heart and heard it and have confessed it. And then it germinates. I'm going to get into what that means here a bit, but it takes sprout. But then what happens is, what happens today in lives of today, it shrivels in this, it's called the shriveled sprout syndrome. We sprout up, and then what happens? The word of God has been received. This is the story of my life. This was the story of my life. As I heard God's word, and it went in down deep and heard it, and it sprouted out. But then as I was raised, you know, as I went along in life, I had a goal. All I knew was I was never in the word of God. I never heard the word of God, but I knew I wanted Jesus. But I went through life making some choices. Said, I need to get married. I need to make X amount of dollars. I need to have a life. So I went after my life. I never bothered to ask God, by the way, what do you want me to do? I had my own agenda. I went my direction. And so what happens is things happened. And it's, I'll give you the parallel. And this is Botany 101, by the way. There won't be a test. For the germination of seeds, it says germination is when seeds sprout open and begin to grow. Now think about this as Christians. We get started. Little seeds, new seeds, sprouting, waiting to spread. It says it starts to sprout. This is what it says. What do seeds need to start to grow? Seeds wait to germinate until three needs are met: water, correct temperature, and warmth. I look at them as water is the Holy Spirit. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The temperature is you've got to be around other bodies in the body. You can't be out there all alone doing your own thing. I'm telling you, this was my life. This is the story of my life, all alone. And then you've got, you know, and then you've got to have good soil. But what happens when the soil is just full of junk, which was my life? I had it all, an opportunity to grow, but I didn't. See, it says, during the early stages of growth, the seedling relies upon the food supply stored with it in the seed until it's large enough for its own leaves to begin to making food through photosynthesis, by the way, fancy word. Because seeds have to grow, germinate, sprout, the leaves have to sprout through the soil, then the sun basically helps it to grow. Who's the sun? Jesus Christ. I mean, this is just amazing. By the way, these aren't in my notes. This is just kind of coming. It's very cool. So it, basically then as this grows, this photosynthesis, this is the sun reaching up to Jesus. And it says the seedling's roots push down into the soil to anchor the new plant and to absorb water and minerals from the soil. As this word of God goes down deep, it anchors us. As we get filled with the Holy Spirit, the water, His living water pouring in us. And then the minerals of the soil is as we stay in the word of God. Okay? Because the seed has enough to get you going as we're saved, as we start to grow. But what happens is, and I'm telling you, this is the majority of Christians that just sprout out and start to grow. But then stuff happens. The germination stage ends when the shoot emerges from the soil, but the plant is not done growing. It's just started. But this is where most Christians stop. This was me. It just started. But I was contaminated by weeds. I had stuff in my life. I didn't know better. Thorns and weeds. They are everywhere. And they seem to never go away. Just go out. You have yards. If you have yards or you have a planter or whatever, what comes up all the time? Weeds. You can't not get weeds. They're there. So they have to be dealt with. Or else we will just go, I don't care about those weeds. That was my life. I don't care about those weeds. It's like going out to your backyard or your planter or whatever and seeing nothing but weeds. Go, that's normal. That's fine. I don't care what it looks like. That was my life. I was into everything about what the world was about, because that's what I thought was the way to live. And what are they? What are these weeds? What are these thorny things that Jesus, in the soil that Jesus talks about? These things are what? He says, there they are. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life. First thing, cares. The things that we deal with every day. They're like weeds. We gave it up in the morning and there's a weed. There's a thorn. There's something to deal with. And they come up again and again. The word care, by the way, is defined in the original language as concern, anxiety, and worry. Concern, anxiety, and worry. Anybody have any of those right now? Any thorny soil going on? Your anxiety, what do they do? They're like thorns in good soil. They can choke out the Word of God. They can actually stop us from hearing the Word of God. As we're so consumed with whatever. And I was consumed with having to, you know, be the best insurance man that I could be, and whatever that took, I would do it. And we're, you know, again, as we can go through life and we can go on just expecting that this is okay to live like this. But it keeps us from growing, coming to that next level of maturity where God wants us to grow. Not just be a little sprout that gets all messed up and choked out, but to grow, to keep growing and growing, to get us to the next level of faith. What do we do with weeds? We want to pull them out. We want to pluck them out. Or I spray them with Roundup. I'm a Roundup guy. I just think that's the way to go. Kill those cares. Those cares, Matthew, Mark say the cares of the world. That's what they're talking about. They will choke out your life. Ever felt like you were strangled by your anxieties? That's your cares and worries, those things that keep you up at night. So what happens is instead of knowing the Word of God and going to the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? This morning as I was praying about, I'm really disturbed about not having Christmas Sunday. Not doing that. It really bothers me. But I prayed about it. God, what does your Word have to say? And he helped me. He says, cast your cares upon me. Because he cares for you. Give them to him. Pull out that weed. That's your weed. Your first weed. Then next, Jesus says, what's the next aspect of that, he says? Take those riches. Because when I was a first Christian, I knew I had to be rich. I wanted to be rich. Have lots of money. That's going to take care. Because I actually felt like that would take care of my cares. That's how delusional I was. The cares of the world will be taken care of by the second thing, which is a desire for riches. In fact, the other Gospels call it the deceitfulness of riches. There's nothing wrong with being rich, by the way. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's a good thing. But it's that desire, I've got to get it, and it's get out of my way. And it was like, you know, I was trying to be happy with that care, that rich thing, but it didn't work. I tried to fix my life with it, but it made it worse. The choking kept coming on, these weeds, choking out my life. My life was meaningless. So it's going after the next thing in life, the pleasures of life. That's what it says here, the third thorn of the life. So how do these all fit together? The cares of the world lead us to the lie of trying to acquire more, to get rich. Desires, to go after the pleasures of life. The Greek word for pleasure, by the way, here is hedone, where we get our word hedonism. You know what, right now, today, hedonism is not a negative connotation any longer. Hedonism is a good thing in the world. It's going after whatever makes you feel good. The worldly flesh is what it is. It's going after that stuff. The desires of the lust of life is what that means. Oh, go for it. Get everything you can. Go for the gusto. The lust of the flesh. What does the Bible say? Galatians 6 talks about the lust of the flesh. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Spirit of God. It says this in James 4, 3. You don't have to turn there. Let me turn by real quick here. It says, speaking of, he says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Then he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So what are we doing with our desires, our prayers? And that's that again. Are we? Is it a thorny issue? Is it a thorny problem? But see, the result is, it leads to meaningless life. It's just a little shriveled sprout. There's no joy and never satisfied. That was my life. I was a Christian believer going to church every Sunday, but was empty. Here's the thing too. Get me out of church, you would never know I was a Christian. How do you know a plant? You look at the plant. Try to figure out, what is that? How many times you drive by the fields like right here? Wonder what that is. Wonder what they're growing out there. A lot of times there's weeds in there. You can't tell the difference. Right? That can be our lives sometimes. Is that lettuce? Broccoli? You know? You can't tell until the sprout comes up more and more, right? Then, oh yeah. Then you can't really tell. Then all of a sudden you see those little red berries. Oh, wow, those are strawberries. There's fruit. Those things are real. Strawberries. What's our life sometimes? Can people tell? Nobody can tell with my life. I hid it. I did. You can't tell until you are bearing fruit. My life was fruitless, just like a plant in the field with nothing on it. You know, here's the thing, too, about weeds and plants. I'm not a very good gardener, and I've discovered I can pull out real flowers when they're supposed to be, when I thought they were weeds. Oops. And there's one thing I discovered, too. Flowers come up a lot easier than weeds. Go, whoa, that was, oops. Weeds, man, those suckers are in there good. And they're in there good for a reason. They don't want to be pulled out. But that's stuff in our life. We all have thorns and weeds in our soil, in our life. As Jesus said, if you have ears, listen and believe. Let the word of God, the seed, go deep and sprout. Let the words go down and anchor you deep. And then let yourself grow. Jesus says back in Luke 8, 15, he says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Whoa. What is good ground? It's noble and a good heart. What's noble means honest. An honest and good heart with all sincerity. Soil is just right. Has to get rid of the thorns, though, the weeds. We have to pluck those out. There's things in our life, things that were in my life that I had to get rid of. Because they will just keep you shriveled up like a little sprout. But with that soil, that rich, good soil, it's able to do something with the Word of God as God wants to do something in us. And he says this. What does he say to do it? He says to keep it. Keep that word, that soil. Excuse me, that seed down there. Keep it. What does that mean to keep? You are to literally hold it tight. That's what it means. Recognize what the value of the Word of God is. And it's not just something you put on the shelf, but it's something you get into and you read and you study and you come on Wednesdays or Sundays and you hold it and possess it. And it's this. This is the Word of God. All of it, all inspired, the whole message, the entire thing. That's why we want to go through the whole counsel of God and get it all. We don't want to miss anything. And to live by the Word of God, something happens. This is what happens when we live by the Word of God. Fruit pops out. We pray, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit as he waters us, and then fruit pops out. It'll happen. My life changed when I did this, when I got into the Word. Oh, this is how I'm supposed to live? God, you're so good. I'd rather just do this. This makes sense, God. And it goes deep, and then the fruit pops out. It changed my life. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, it says in Psalms 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season, in its season, whose life also, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. That's awesome. That's amazing. If there's anything else that anybody wants to get right now, this is it. Just stay, let that word go deep. Let it change your life and watch it work. Your leaf will not wither. When those temptations come, when those trials hit, when the sun's really hot, you're not going to wither. And it's easy to wither. And I think what happens sometimes is we as plants, we sometimes, when a heat gets hot, when things get difficult, when those cares come on, sometimes we just want to be alone. And that's the worst thing we can do. So we said, pray, ask. Get into his word. So, you want to bear fruit? It says, bear fruit with patience. Patience. How many farmers go out, plant their seeds, and go, the next day, there's nothing here, I quit. This is stupid. It's not working. But that's sometimes what happens with us as Christians. We're not waiting on the Lord. We're not bearing the endurance. That's what the patience means. Steadfastness, patient endurance. See, the fruit will come. But it's just, Lord, are you really going to wait? Are you real? Are you going to hang on? Give it time. What's the fruit? So many people can enjoy. We can enjoy this fruit in ourselves, and other people can enjoy it around you. What is it? It's in Galatians 5:22. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. You guys are awesome. You guys got that thing down. Wow. What happens when we don't? When we're seeking after cares, riches, pleasures of life? There's that other fruit. It's the lust of the flesh and all that other junk that comes out. The anger, it's there. It's listed in there. Did you know that? The lust of the flesh. All that stuff comes out. And it's ugly stuff. We don't have to be, we'll go there sometimes, but you know what? We can always come back and start pull those thorns out. Pull out those weeds. Come back. Clean up that soil. Let the Lord do it. Lord, what is there in my life that needs to be cleaned up? It's the best life you could ever imagine. And it takes an effort. It takes a matter of just trusting God and say, God, change me. Do something in me. Total commitment with total contentment. That's what it's about. Total peace. So, let's sprout little sprouts as we're growing and maturing and grow and bearing fruit. Go to that light. Go to Jesus. Let him fill you with his water, of living water, his Holy Spirit. Don't get choked out. There's so much stuff out there. I'm telling you, it's even worse today than it was 30 years ago, 10 years ago. It's harder today to be in that place because there's, as I said, Satan's constantly trying to take that seed, remove it. Closing with, again, Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this time, for this place. for our church, for these lives, God, that you can do a mighty work in us right now, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, there's things in our lives that are thorny issues, thorny things, God, that are choking out your word. Lord, I pray, may we just remove those. Recognize what they are, Lord, and we pray, God, you let you weed them out, God. We'll let you tear them out. You do work, Lord. We choose to be willing to let you do that work in us. Remove those thorny things in our life that choke us out. And if there's someone here that is that second soil that just kind of sprouted up for a little bit and just died out, Lord, we pray, God, they can come back and just say, Lord, I need you. I want you in my life. Let your word go deep. Let your seed get anchored so deeply by your love, Lord, that we are steadfast in you. And then we can be patient and watch you bear fruit. And we know you will. We know you are right now, God, bearing fruit. Thank you, God. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.